And we thank you so much for your mercies. You are indeed a faithful God. Heavenly Father, I humble myself under your mighty, and this afternoon I strip myself, Lord, of every confidence I may yet have. Lord, Bible says that your mercies, Lord, that you are abundant in mercies. That mercy will bring victory in our lives today, to slay the Goliath in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. I duck under the covering of our spiritual fathers, that grant me the same grace and mercy upon their lives, to minister as an oracle of God, to teach, to preach, Lord, to speak expressly that which is your will, as the word goes forth, it will break chokes in our lives. Because our wills become more humble, our minds further enlightened with revelation, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. As we go into your word, let me to redeem the time. Help me not to say things that are necessary. Lord, Lord, Spirit, I lean on you. I set you at my right hand. And I thank you for helping me as we go into the word this afternoon. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Our God is what? Faithful. Ever faithful God. Nothing catches him unawares. The title of my message this afternoon is All Things Work Together for Good. Let's say together, all things work together for good. You can put it on Romans chapter 8, verse 19. We quote that scripture. And I believe everybody here wants all things to work together for their good, because that is God's design for every Christian in particular. Praise God. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Romans chapter 8, verse 19, please. Let's read together. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for what? The manifestation of the sons of God. Next verse. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Let me skip verses because of time. Okay, now let's go to verse 22. Because of time. 22, please. Okay, let's go back to 22, 22, 23. Okay. For we know, so but we know, very important scripture. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and what travaileth in pain together until now. Next verse. 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have what? The first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves do what? Groan within. Say, groan within. So that means when we groan within, we're not making noise. It's something that comes from within. Are you following me? Groan within. Why are we groaning? Say, waiting. Say, waiting. For the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. Praise the Lord. And read verse 27 now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 27. And he that started the heart. Let's go. And he that started the heart. Knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because it was, he maketh what? Intercession for the unbelievers. Intercession for those that are not born again. Intercession for the saints. According to what? The will of God. Next verse. And we know. You see, we must come to a place in our lives where we all know. I follow it by experience. And we know that all things what? Work together for good to them that what? Say, love God. And to them that are what? Called according to his purpose. So it gives us the two keys. Next verse. Let me just read because of time. I don't remember. 29. For whom? Say, for whom? He did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of his son, as he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Some days ago, I think it was about 3 or 4 days ago, I woke up to pray. And as I was praying, God brought these things, just a short word of exhortation, trusting God to help me. And he brought the scripture back to me about praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. And I was so excited. The way I saw it, so I started explaining to my wife, but how come all things don't work together for our good? You see, all things can't work together for anyone's good if it does not obey verses 26 and verses 27. Amen. It's very important. You see, because you see, when I first got born again, you know, when I started coming to the church, I saw people groan and all that. I didn't understand. You see, but what kept me, like what Pastor Clay was sharing so beautifully today, is submitting to those that God has put in authority over. Why? Because they have gone ahead. Just like wherever you are today, you must have junior people that are under you. And that's by virtue of the fact that you are older than them, you will have certain experiences that they don't have. Right or wrong? So it will pay them, or if they will just obey and submit. So with time, they will now begin to understand. But see, the message I'm bringing today is a very important message, because it's a critical message for the hour. Open to Isaiah chapter 66. I think it's in verse 5. It's because we are smack in the end time. And I'll just keep on praying. That's where it helps me. You see, here in that those scriptures you read, he said that three sets of people are groaning. The creation is groaning. Are you following me? The saints that have the first fruits of the Spirit, they too are also groaning. And then the third person that is going is the Holy Spirit himself. That the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with what? Groanings. He didn't say tongues. Are you following me? So three sets of people are groaning. The world is groaning. He said the whole creation is groaning. So they are earnestly waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Then he also says that we ourselves that have the first fruits of the Spirit, the first fruit of the Spirit, the earnest of the Spirit, when he starts speaking, of which we ourselves, we are going, we are waiting to what? For the redemption of this body, not the redemption of the body. You see, because this body must be redeemed on this side of this earth. Christ has paid the price for it. You know what I'm saying? You see, because Paul says something. Because if it is not redeemed, it can hinder us from fulfilling our destiny. That's why Paul said, he said, I keep this body that is not yet redeemed under. So after I preach to others, I myself should not be what? A castaway. So you see, we don't have any option about, we must fulfill that crusade. We are waiting for the redemption of this, but it must be redeemed. Or else, from the time you leave this side of this of the earth, you will not be, you have to say continue. But once you experience the redemption of the body, I follow me, then you will be able to feel everything that God wants you to do. So I said, Christians must be groaning. I follow me. And then God, the Holy Spirit himself, co-labors with us. He also has joined the damper. That's why I'm saying the threefold call is not still broken. So you can see a flow there of the salvation of the entire creation. It comes from the Holy Spirit, goes through our spirit, and it goes into the world. Praise the Lord. So let's continue. So this is first. So I put, I say, why groan? I was say, why groan? It's because I found that I talked to some youths. It's a bit of an issue for them. They don't understand. Or when people do, they don't do understand. The Bible says, understanding is a wellspring of life. To them that have it. So God wants us to have it. Praise the Lord. So, help me, Holy Spirit. Why? What? Let's just give me background. Why do we have to groan? Reason number one is because of the fall of man. Say, because of the fall of man. See, when Adam transgressed and he fell in the Garden of Eden, know the story. He took upon himself the nature of the devil and lost God's nature. That nature entered his spirit, into his soul, into his body, and then he permeated the atmosphere. You see, when God created Adam, it was Adam's spirit. We're like the generator that is supplying light now. I found to this place. Everything was being controlled by the spirit of Adam. So when that thing occurred and they fell, sin, the nature of the devil, entered Adam's spirit. I fall in and then flow into his soul and his body, and then after that, I flow in the atmosphere. So, from that day, the entire creation began a process of decay. So, and that process has increased over the years up to this very moment. That's why this message is very quicker. Because the Bible says that in the end time, iniquity will abound. Are you following me? So it has been increasing. But you see, why they kept increasing? God did something. Christ came, died for us, and gave his life for us. So God put something in place that will checkmate in this end time. The Bible says he saved the best for the last. So that is number one, because there is the same nature in our souls and in our bodies and also in the atmosphere. That is why you see the things that happen in end time. Crazy things. I don't want to get, I'm trying to not to consider but say things that you will not believe will happen some 10 years ago. I was with someone, sent someone some days ago. I saw it, and on Big Brother, they misbehave, they have sex, and they are showing it, and people are watching it. Yes, am I right or wrong? I don't watch it, but it's all over, right or wrong? That is the same nature that is abounding. A Christian has no business going there. But you see, what I'm getting to is, I'm not trying to get on Big Brother's issue, but if you don't understand what Satan has put in this system, you will not be aware. He's trying to condition the thinking of men. I follow him. So that there will come a time that people don't even, it's about to say that people have a reprobate mind. They can't even discern. Watch what I'm saying. There's going to come a time they're going to practice homosexuality on that same place. Because they're going to have the right. Yes. That's what Satan has put in the system. He's making life difficult for people. So you see, your ordinary praying in the understanding cannot face the enemy. Satan has raised the bar. So we need something stronger. You cannot be fighting with 10 guns when people have F-15s and 16s or whatever. You can't. You already lost the battle. How about what I said? You see, there's a bombardment in the air. Satan is bombarding the atmosphere. You see, iniquity is abounding. You see, because Satan understands death and life is in the power of the tongue. So after other people sing, or they say it, or they act it out, it's coming against people's mind. I don't have time to tell you. If you of Lot, when he was in, when Peter was talking about this, he said, "When in the righteous man, the things," he said, yes, put it there, if you can remember, it's something like 1 Peter or 2 Peter. He said, "When in the righteous man, Lot, he was born again. Number one, he had no business going to Sodom. But it was passing, he sat at the gate of Sodom." I follow me. Let me find it, please. It says that the thing, he said, the righteous man vexed his righteous soul by things that he heard, by things that he saw, something like that. I think it's the 1 or 2 Peter. I follow me. So you see, that thing is bombarded. It's not going to say, okay, you are a pastor. It won't affect you. Okay, this one, they are young ones. Let me affect them. No. But it's not a physical battle. I say, okay, I'm not going to watch. What? Okay. Okay. 2:7. Okay. And so, talking about Lot, who is the type of Laodicean end time Christian, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the what? Filthy conversation of the wicked. Next verse. This is what I want to see. Understand it. For the righteous man, a type of a born again Christian, he had a covenant with God of Abraham. Dwelling among them in Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the unlawful deed. So don't say what I see does not affect my soul. Don't say what I hear does not affect. So the kind of things you listen to, or let me say, but this is that Satan has put into the atmosphere. I follow him is to affect the righteous soul, to wear, say he wants to wear out the saints of God. So resistance for sin drops. But you see, that is not the message for that. Just mention the problem. The solution one will talk about is how to overcome that abounding iniquity. That God will now cause all things to work together, that including everything that Satan has put into the system. God now used to work together for our good. Praise the Lord. So that is the first problem we'll be highlighted in. This is the second reason I've said, which I've already mentioned, says, so that God can do what? Cause all things to work together for good. Everything that Satan does. And also the good things that God does. Are you following me? I said Isaiah 66, verse 5. Let me read. We are back in the end time. And this is when this must take place. Because the old creation is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of God. We ourselves, we are growing, we are waiting for the redemption of our body. You see, when we experience that redemption, is what will trigger all these things. Are we there? Say, hear the word of the Lord. Ye that what? Tremble at his word. Your brethren, say your brethren. That what? Hated you. That cast you out for my name's sake. And that said, let me read this more. Please forgive me. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that did what? Hated you. That cast you out for my name's sake and said, let the Lord be glorified. But said, let's go. But ye shall what? Appear to your joy and they shall be ashamed. Next verse. They now begin to see the situation in wherein he is going to appear. You must link it. He didn't write this one today and then next he put it. No, it's a continuous discourse. In that season in which he will appear, he now says, a voice of noise from the city. A voice from the temple. You see two voices. The voice in the city is the groaning of the creation. Are you following me? Need to separate those two. Now it says a voice of the Lord that rented. It says a voice of noise from the city. A voice from the temple. You see, the voice from the temple is not a noise. It says a voice of noise from the city. A voice from the temple. The noise speaks about the pain that the world is going to. But the wild voice that is coming from the church, to the design church, is a prophetic word that is going to deal with that problem. So that says a voice of noise that has rendered what? Recompense to his enemies. Next verse. So before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. Next verse. So who had thought such a thing? It has never happened before. Who had seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Dan traveled, she brought forth her children. You see, separate between pain and travail. He said, before her pain came, said she brought forth. It was a few days ago, I was thinking about this scripture. If you don't understand What is he saying? Link it with the scripture Pastor Manley quotes. He said, before your pots can fill the tongues, it shall take them away. So before that thing hits the body of Christ, the Zion church, she will bring forth true travail. That's what he's trying to say. There is a voice in the city. A voice of noise. And there is a voice, the prophetic voice from the temple. And the Bible says, the voice of the Lord that will render recompense to his enemies. In that time that he appears. So where, what time are we living in? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, amplified. That is where we are right now. Those two things are taking place. But I have good news for us. All these things will work together for our good. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 2 Timothy 3, verse, put in amplified. That is the time we are living in. We need to do the times and decisions in amplified. Are we there? What does it say? Say, but understand this, that in the last days will come set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. That's why the Bible says, someone says that if the doctor don't cut it short, say even the elect will be deceived. They have been deceived already. Things that are black and white. Christians don't say, well, it doesn't really matter. You can't be talking like that. As if the fact that we call God the ancient of this means that he does not understand what is good. And so, oh, what are you thinking about? You know, your great-great-great-grandfather. Come set in person of great stress and trouble. Hard to deal with. It didn't say can't be dealt with. Hard to deal with and hard to bear. Next verse. For people will be lovers of self. Are utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate greed, desire for wealth, proud and all that, blah, blah, blah. He mentions it. But what I want to say is this end time is set in difficult times, problems that are difficult to deal with. This one is happening here. It was kidnapped. You see, we should not focus on that. It is the antidote. What God wants you to checkmate the problem that we should focus on. Jeremiah chapter 30 talks about it, verse 5. So it says the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 35. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 35. It says, thus hear the Lord. It says, we have heard. Five, okay. For thus hear the Lord. We have heard what? A voice of trembling and of fear and not of peace. A voice in the city. Next verse. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. That is, it should be a strange thing. I follow him. Say, wherefore do I see every man? With his hand in his loins, as a woman in travail, all faces turned into paleness. Next verse. Alas, for that day is great, so that there is none like unto it, even the time of Jacob's trouble. But this, let's shout together. But it shall be what? Saved out of it. It's in this terrible time that God is going to save the perfect church. It's set, even though it's set in perilous time, that is the time we are in. Praise the Lord. So, and as I was meditating, I just want to highlight another example of Paul. You see, when we say all things work together for good, there are two things that can actually happen. They can be good things, and they can be bad things. But of course, we know that God is not the author of confusion. God does not tempt any man. Are you following me? But you see, Satan is the one that is behind the bad things. And God is saying that in spite of the bad things, God also has his own good things. But all things are yours. So God will take that thing. If I say, I'm the one that created the waster to destroy. He will take it because he can't say, Satan, don't do this one. Are you following me? But when Satan does those bad things, which you can see in the nation and the circumstances or your life, whatever, if you do what God has told you to do, you and I to do, God will also mix it with the good things and then use it to cause it to work together for your good. Like you are preparing a meal. There are some times in the Old Testament, God told them, when you go to eat the Passover, they should eat it with bitter herbs. Understand what I'm trying to say? So, let's look at the life of Paul. God had told him up front, I took Paul because of one reason. Because he's, first of all, he's the pattern disciple. And then he wrote it. It's not scripture. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. And I've kept the faith. So it's someone we can follow. In spite of everything that happened to Paul, before he even started the ministry, Jesus Christ told Ananias, he said, go and lay hands on that man. He said, you must tell him the things that will suffer for the gospel's sake, for my name's sake. So let's look at Paul. Let's look at Acts chapter 20, verse 22. Acts 20:22. We'll read. Acts 20:22. And now behold, he was telling them on the way to go after what God told him to do. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Next verse. It says, save that the Holy Ghost, save, not the devil, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. It's the Holy Ghost that said it too. It didn't take him away from. You see, there's something that we need to Holy Spirit, let me say this in such a nice way so that things don't start getting bonds and afflicted minded. It's what I'm about to say is this. There comes a time in your Christian life that God has to win you. Yeah. When you have a baby, you are feeding the baby on breast milk. There will come a time you win that child. Start giving semi-solids. My sister says that till he grows, he says, strong meat belongs unto them that are mature. Senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Like Jesus Christ. He said, Master, you can't go. They are going to. Did you hear that we're looking for you? He said, don't you know that 12 hours, 6 in a day? Yes, and just went back and prayed. And he went to the same place, did the job, and came back. Paul did the same thing. Verse 24. Says, but none of these things. That is what I want to see today. Everything that is happening, don't let it move you. Say, none of these things move me. Now I count out my life there unto myself. So that I might finish my course with what? Joy. And that the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Say, none of these things move me. So has happened there. It doesn't move me. Why? That I might finish my course, and he finished it. That's why I took his example. Praise the Lord. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 11. We're looking at Paul today. All those things that happened to the man, everything that Satan threw at him, he still won the battle. So God wrote those things for us as an example. So we can know that, look, we can, in spite of what is happening in the world, in spite of the stress of nations, in spite of the economic activity, in spite of all the killings that you hear and hear, you see, if we will do what God has told us to do, we will finish our course. So he started telling his son Timothy, this was before he finished his course, persecution and afflictions which came on me at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra, that's where they stoned him, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all what the Lord delivered me. Out of them all, next verse. Yeah, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'm not saying that we should be persecution minded, but the Bible says that if you're going to live godly, you'll suffer persecution, because there will come a time that God will win you for milk and he will allow you to stand the test. So are you going to deny him or say no? See, it's going to come. It's a condition of keeping the word of God. Are you following me? Next verse. Say, but no, next. Sorry, put it back in verse 12. I don't think I finished verse 12. Says, yeah, and all that will live godly in Jesus Christ can suffer persecution. That's what I said, but God delivered for everything. So that is the story of Paul that we have seen. And I pick just one example on his way to fulfill his prophecy, Acts chapter 27, verse 19. You see, God had told him, like I said some time ago, God appeared to him and said, Paul, be encouraged. Don't worry, you're going to stand before me, Caesar, in Rome. Christ appeared to him in a vision and spoke to him. It was it that God said that to him. It's a done deal. See, but Satan is not going to fold his arms and allow us to just walk away free like that. It's like if you're in a football match and you're playing the finals, and the other side knows that they're going to lose the match. They will start kicking people. They will want to take out the number one player. Why? Because if you want to destroy, just make sure that even though we lose this match, but at least we'll make sure that we'll mark you. So that is exactly what Satan is trying to do. And Paul answered, he said, and the third day, we are in the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of a ship. That speaks about all the props, the things that you have confidence in. My daddy is a rich man. They can help me get a good job in UN. Okay, we have so and so and so. We have this. The defense of our house is walled up like walls of Jericho. All those things will fail. I'm not saying we don't have them in place. But see, There are perilous times. It's not that God doesn't have us to have us, but your confidence must be in God. Say with their own hands, all those things that put confidence in. This. Say, we cast them off in all in the third day. Are you following me? Next verse. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Next verse. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and not lost. Next verse. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss. Say, there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep. So why did I read all that? I took Paul as an example. In spite of the things that he faced, in spite of what the devil threw at him, and he did it only because of one reason, that he would not fulfill the assignment that God has given him. He's only a type of an end-time Christian. So he said, in the third day, all the things that I put confidence in, I follow him and say, we threw them away. I said, God, if you don't deliver us now, no one else can deliver us. And we said, God did that. Not only him, but all those that were in the ship with him. Some of them didn't have an idea what was going on. Praise the Lord. So I said, all things work together for good. As I was thinking, you see, I want to mention something again. Covering is very, very important, like Pastor Kuni was sharing. But see, covering is supposed to also help you to build up a relationship with God. You don't live by covering, no? You don't. You live by faith. In my Bible reading this morning, I was reading the book of Isaiah 37. When Zennacherib was bragging to Isaiah, you know, and Isaiah, he told Isaiah what happened. The first thing that Isaiah did was this. He went to the house of the Lord. He had a relationship with God. Then now sent for the prophet. Open it. Open it. You're looking like, don't know what I'm saying. Isaiah chapter 37 verse 1. So, you see, covering is supposed to, let me give you an example that just comes to my mind like that. We are under the covering of this building right now. We can't live in this church, in this building forever. Yes or no? You must have your house. Right or no? That's what I'm trying to say. It's a very simple illustration. Can you live in the church forever? I say, am I going out again because there is danger in the world? No. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Isaiah 37. Ezekiel 37 verse 1 says, and it came to pass when King Ezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes. When he heard it, Isaiah had not yet heard it. And covered himself with sackcloth. And went his way, the house of the Lord. That's correct order. Verse 2. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet. That is why the Bible says that. Believe the Lord your God. Number one. Then shall you be what? Established. Believe his prophets, then shall you prosper. Under covering, you develop a relationship with God. That is the essence of Christ. You can grow up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Let's look at verse 11. Same scripture. The thing happened the second time. And the guy sent another letter. See what it is. Because Ezekiel under Isaiah was growing spiritually. Even though it wasn't perfect. He said, behold, that was so. This guy, let's read this verse. He was bragging to him again. Go to verse 12. Bragging and boasting, I will deal with you. I've dealt with many nations. Next verse. I want to skip out of time. So where is it? Where is the king of Hamath? Next verse, I'm sorry. 14. And this guy received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And this guy did what? Went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. So then Isaiah took covering, now spoke. Because if Ezekiel went to the house of the Lord and Isaiah did not speak, nothing will happen. So like I said, what is covering? Covering multiplies, you know, what you put out. So if you put out one, with my multiplying factor of 10, you get 10 over 100. Put out two, you get 10 times 2, 20. 5, you get 50. If you put out 10, record money, do good money, Jesus, do everything you're told to do, 10 times 10, you get 100. And if you decide to put out 0, are you following me? So Bible repeats it. Then the next thing, because of time, Ezekiel now spoke on top of what this guy has done. He now multiplied it, and one single angel destroyed the whole entire place. So I said, all things work together for good. Anna is another example. You see, Anna had a problem. Bible doesn't tell us. See, at times Bible doesn't tell us the root cause of the problem. Because at times it doesn't matter to God. Because all God is after is to get victory for his saints. So Bible says Anna was a woman of 80 and fourscore years. We don't know why the husband died. You could have imagined, okay, maybe she married the wrong person. But you see, she did not bow down and begin to weep and cry. She must have wept initially. But what we are saying is this. There came a time in her life. The Bible says that she no longer departed from the temple. And through her fastings and prayer, Luke 2:36. Luke 2, the Bible says, God said, he said, we serve God with fastings and praying night and day. And God took that bad thing and turned it around and gave her something better. I told somebody some days ago, I said, if Anna and Simeon stood like this, Joseph and Mary stood like this, whose reward would think would be more? Let's be honest. Let's be honest. You know you are afraid. Simeon and Anna are standing like this. Joseph and Mary are standing like this. And God wants to reward them for what Jesus, what they contributed in Jesus' life. They contributed though. But not to contribute more spiritually is more important. Yes. Who's reward? Let me, you don't understand. People are doubting their hearts. You give money to your child to go to school. I begin to spend that money. Who gave the child the money? If they had not prayed, they would have affected the master. I'm not saying that Joseph and Mary, they were honest people. They did their own part. But that's what covering does again. Their own part was to take Jesus every day and to the temple. They were not fasting night and day. Because their hearts were right, they would take the master. And you must learn to combine both. They would take the master to the synagogue and then they would bring him back. They would take him to the synagogue. They are just obeying the instructions that came for the fathers of that time, like Anna and Simeon. 3 times in a year, you must appear with your meals before the Lord. They understood it. But the power to take the child there was being supplied by Anna and Simeon. If they released the power and they didn't take him, it wouldn't work. If they took him and the power was not released, no, what would have happened? The master would get there, he would hear the scriptures, but the heavens would not be open. Because Bible says he grew in wisdom. So are you following me? So that is Anna, another example. And then I think I have more example. The boy with the, why I quoted Anna and Simeon, you see, then if you link it with the Mary, when the angel appeared and said that, he said, how shall these things be? He said, with God, nothing shall be called impossible. That is, all things will work. It's the same thing. All things will work together for good. Same thing with the boy with the epileptic seizure. Are you following me? When the Jesus Christ came from the mountain, and he said, for how long? He said, please help my unbelief. The master said, all things are possible to him that believe. So we are talking about all things working together for our good. It does not matter what you have a situation that is epileptic. God will cause it to work together for our good. Praise the Lord. So I said, all things, there are bad things and there are good things. Bad things, John chapter 10, verse 10 talks about this. Satan that is behind it. God has done, you can't have a child. I want to teach the child a lesson. Now put hot iron. I want to teach him something and learn wisdom. No, God doesn't do that. It's Satan that does that. That's not God. He says that, he says that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So that is the bad things. It's from the thief, Satan. Now what about the good things? The good things, let's open, the Bible says God has also given good things. Good, let's 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 3:21. They are bad things. You can't stop them. You know, you're about to say, Tibitri, Adalia, God, but you're about to say, they are bad and good things. I mean, God, you're about to say, what does it say? Say, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. What are the all things? Next verse. He began to measure the most important things of the all things. Paul, covering. Apollos, covering. Cephas, covering. The world that is misbehaving, or alive, or dead, or whatever. All things. Paul, Apollos, Cephas, those are set in authority. They are all yours. All yours in the sense that everything that is upon them can flow to you. Understand? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know what? The things that are freely given to us. secret thing for us to win in this end time has been freely given to us. But said that you might know by the Spirit. I follow him. That you might know by the Spirit that you can be there and not understand. So that's why Paul says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. The Spirit will now open your eyes that, you are under this particular ministry. This is available to you. Very important. The other things also, because of time, the blood of Jesus. Are you following me? The blood of Jesus. These are the free things God has freely given unto us. The word of God. They are freely. You see, but if you see the word of God, and your eyes, you don't see it as that your life and your destiny is hidden in this thing, you will begin to read stories and you say, okay, and then you bought this for 12 shekels of this. And then you will not understand that you are actually reading what God expects you to do. But because the Spirit has not opened your eyes to you, you can't pop it. God will open eyes to these things in Jesus' name. Let's go on to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Just put another scripture behind it. Romans 8, chapter 32. Same chapter. I'm going to go back to this. And he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with also freely give us all things? So you see, I said there are bad things, that are all things, and there are good things. So in this one, definitely that everything that God has given us, nothing bad can be there. That's why I took time to talk about Apollos, Cephas, Paul. So what are the things that God has given unto us? In summary, it's all the resources of heaven. The blood of Jesus, the word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, angels, and all these things. God has freely given them to us. Those are the all things that we need. So Satan also brings his own all things. All the bad temptations that come. Accident. This one like he did for Paul. He said, God cannot legally stop him. Pastor has taught us. He must allow him to do those things. I follow him. So that he can seal his destiny entirely. I said, Jesus Christ, Pastor has taught us. Just mention it. Jesus Christ died for us. So I will not go to hell. But see, we must pay the price through sufferings now. You know what I mean? The God allows Satan to come to attack, but not to defeat us. I follow him. So that he will be culpable. That is, okay, now you have attempted to kill this guy. I follow him like he did for Peter. I follow him. It wasn't God's desire, I believe, for James to have died. But you see, either he died or he didn't die. You see, that was just building up a case against Satan. Because God is a just God. So Satan brings his all things that are bad. And God has all good things that when God mixes them together to cause them to work together. But you know why? When those things come, it's time for you to grow spiritually. You can't run away from them. That is, you didn't know that was a step here. And you've always been living on this level all the while. Let me just give a funny example. Then your landlord comes and says, increases your rent. That you know you can never afford. And you believe in God that, okay, by the time you don't worry, then you now begin to pray. Say, I'm going to move here. Give me 5 days. You have to move out of your house. Then begin to seek God. You begin to use God's own all things. And as you try and try and try, what looked impossible, instead of you crying, you now put another step. All of a sudden, you have your own house. Just a very simple example. That is, you must see those things as a stepping stone to greater heights in God. It's not a time to weep and cry and say, God, why do you allow this to happen to me? Paul could have been crying. Say, but God, you said you're going to apply before social and so room. Why do this want to happen to me now? I thought you would deliver. Higher ground. Look at the life of David also. When they took everybody, he cried for some time. Said he encouraged himself in the Lord. What of if he had not gone after the Amalekites? They would have gone, his wife, his children, all the household, they would have gone. They probably would have stoned him again. But that was not God's design. God's design was, look, I want to show you something. I want you to see something you've never learned before. So it brings an examination. And then you assume that, maybe I don't have anything to answer. Say, don't worry. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things. He will guide you to all truth. He will show you things to come. So he said, overtake, pursue, and you reward, you recover all. That is a pathway to recovering all. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? Now let's go back to, let me not begin to round up. It's not a long message. I've already mentioned that. Let me Holy Spirit. Yeah, I said all the resources of heaven. I said all things worked out for good. Yeah. Two conditions God presents it to us. Now let's look at the how, which is the most important aspect of this message. It's not good enough to know the bad things and the good things. But how will we now mix it together? I get it. You know, you have a recipe. You have to mix the right quantity, right measure, so the aroma can come up. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8, and we'll begin to read from verse 26. now begins to tell us the how. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. He didn't say we don't know how to pray, but we don't know how to pray the intricacies and details of that problem or that challenge that Satan has brought. I said, but the Spirit himself, it's supposed to be himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Pastor Kule mentioned it this morning. Next verse. Continuous discourse. So, and he that searcheth the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, not necessarily your mind. Two separate things. The mind of the Spirit is the mind of Christ. Because in your own mind, when that problem is brewing, you say, in your mind, this is my end. This is why the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. So he says that. So he said, he knows what is the mind of Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Number one are two levels in that situation. And then two, we are going to sing. Next verse. 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that what? Say, love God and are called according to his purpose. Those are the two conditions. Say, love God and are called according to his purpose. Next verse. Now let's see the purpose. For whom? He did foreknow. He also did what? Predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. That is the purpose. Next verse. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified when Christ died. And whom he justified in time, them he also glorified. Now let's go back. He says that all things work for us. He says, to them that say love God and accord according to his purpose. So I'm talking about that purpose. You see, things cannot work together for your good if you are not following purpose. I'm thinking of a very simple example so I can understand. All things cannot work together for good. Are you following me? If you are not living after purpose. The only reason why God will give us long life is so I can fulfill that purpose. Say, with long life, will I satisfy him? Why? That might show him my salvation. Purpose. If you don't make purpose your goal, it's difficult for God to keep on using things to work about good. In his mercy, his Bible just comes to me about the tree that was planted in the vineyard, the fig tree. The fig tree was not growing according to purpose. It was not bearing fruit. So the vine dresser came and said, let us hew it down. So why could bear the guy? Why are you wasting time? You're wasting resources. The blood of justice is right there. You're not using it. You're not washing feet. You're not doing anything. Just taking space. So he said, okay, one more year. If it does not follow after purpose, put it down. Hard but true. But see, what I want to say is this. Once you make up your mind, I'm not saying you are perfect, but you are practicing. And you believe this is my goal. Please don't make heaven the goal of your Christianity. Or else you can go early. We are going to heaven, no? But it's not about goal. But say, I'm going. The prodigal son gave the boy his inheritance. Go. But if you make this your purpose, I want to be like my father. That should be the desire of every son. I want to be like God. God said, hey, this one wants to be like me. Father, you can be weak and tired. God, we have to pray for Nigeria. I'm tired. I'm weak. He sees that you want to pray. He will give you strength. The master gets the money. But if you are sitting down, it's like Papa says, he said, God doesn't want to hear you. So you can sit down and watch TV without being in pain. No. God loves us, so he cares for everybody. I for him, but he has an assignment, he has a purpose. So all the resources of heaven will back you. He will deliver you. We'll make this as a provision if you have made this your purpose. Praise the Lord. So no matter what happens, long life is guaranteed. Protection is guaranteed. Going back to Paul, that is what preserved Paul. Because he said, all these things don't move me. I must fulfill this purpose. So all the resources of heaven, angels, that must have been a very terrible battle. There are some of the video clips I want to watch in heaven. What was actually going on when that battle was going on? Paul left everybody and went down somewhere in the ship. For 14 good days, there was no sun, nothing. The man kept on praying. Why? Well, if he had gone to bed to sleep, that'll have been the end of his story. That's what I want us to see. Now let's go up. That is one bar. I suppose we have a second condition. The number one condition on us is that, love God. Say that love God. That love God. In our mind, with that love God is, okay, singing choruses, running helter-skelter, you know. No. What is the love of God? Help me, Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 15. We'll keep on reading. John chapter 14, verse 15. What does it say? God himself said this is the love of God. So we have no doubt about it. Are you there? What does it say? John 14, 15, next week. It says, for if you love me, do what? Keep my commandment. Simple. The only reason I will know that you love me is not because you came to church on time. It's good to do that. Say, keep my commandments. And we know the commandments in the Old Testament is 10. It's summarized in love in the New Testament. One commandment. I follow him because if you love the Lord your God, and you know, like it says, and you know, if you love God, you're not going to do evil to your neighbor. Are you following me? Verse 16. That is why he gave us the Holy Spirit, the perfection of love God. Next verse. See, the next thing begins to talk about. And I will pray. Back to verse 15. Because of the commandment. That means you cannot keep the commandment without verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Back to verse 15. To keep the commandment. Verse, I like those verses. Verse 16. 16. We read that. Says, I bear with you, verse 21. And I say something. Says, and verse 21. And I say something. Says, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. But he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Next verse. Okay, next verse. That's a priest say, but he that has my command does not keep them, does not love me. Next verse. There's a place somewhere down there may find it. You know, I said that somebody said, but he that has my command, verse 24. Okay, he says, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings or my commandment and my word, which you hear, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father. That is the only way that God sees that we love him is when we keep that commandment of love. If you don't keep it and you do every other external thing, as far as God is concerned, you are not keeping his commandment. You don't love him. That by 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says something. It says, if I give my body to be born and I have no love, it profit me nothing. It says, I give all my goods to the poor and I have not love, interpret as keep his commandments. He said, it profit me nothing. That is, you can do all the physical, external things. If you don't keep that commandment, as far as God is concerned, if it's like eating the icing, you are not eating the cake under. I follow me. A lot of people do physical things and activities in the body of Christ, like matter. They run up and down everywhere. And when God looks at them, they're not keeping my commandment. Because everything they were doing at that time, even though God will use it, I follow me. But at the end of the day, he will not give them any reward that is worthy. Praise the Lord. So we need to see that it's very, very important. So as we begin to round up, how do we now keep this commandment? There's a scripture in the book of John chapter, just a minute. First John chapter 3. First John 3, verse 23. John now began to explain to us what the commandment of God is. He breaks the commandment of life and the commandment of love. Are we there? John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. What does it say? And this is the commandment. Let's see. And this is the commandment that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, which gives us life, and love one another as he gave us commandments. In the book of John, it says that this is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. So John now breaks it up into two commandments. And the book of John, I don't have time to understand. He said that the words that I speak are life are spirit and life. No, it says that the words that I speak to you, the words that Father has given to speak, are life eternal. So we keep these two commandments, the command of life, the power of God, to now walk in the love of God. And so we can now love one another as Christ loves us. Not as you want to. That love that endures long and is patient and kind. So when you get to the end of yourself, the love of God kicks in and takes you beyond yourself. And follow me. And you now begin to love like Christ loves. Like we pray every morning on Good Morning Jesus. Father, please make my love to increase and to abound in present complete knowledge and judgment. That I may approve of things that are excellent. I be sincere in my heart without offense toward God and toward all men. Be filled with the fruits of righteousness. That is the love of Christ that passes all knowledge. Are you following me? So that when God now sends you somewhere, or like Paul the apostle, when they stoned him and left him for dead, and the brethren stood round him and they prayed, and he rose up. Ordinarily, I would have gone away from that place, said, pack your things and go. But you know what the man did? He went back to that place in Lystra, I think. And it was his walking in love that brought Timothy out. Go and check it. At that time, they had not picked up Timothy. But because he chose to forgive those people and went back there. There's a scripture in Isaiah. It says about the cluster of fruits. He said, don't destroy it, because there's a blessing. So when he went back, I followed him to, I think, Lystra. That was when he saw Timothy and he picked Timothy. But if he had gone away, we won't have Timothy today. That you must learn to walk in the love of God. Perfect that love of God. As you perfect the love of God, you find that every challenge that Satan brings, there is always a blessing hidden inside. So if you withdraw and ask God and pray, and you will receive, have been taught, the wisdom to overcome that trial and temptation, inside it, there is something, because God will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to bear. God will not set the exam of a Form 5 student for a Form 2 student. It's not possible. But once the exam comes, my brother, you've been prepared for it. I pray you've been going for lectures. So when it hits, you just ask God. Yeah, it's a difference. If you say, God, I don't tell you what I was able to bear, and you've not been going for lectures, you can't pass the exam. So it's not, don't just take it like that. When the temptation comes, God has made sure that he has taught you, that he has given you all the things, the resources of heaven, the blood, the word, and the spirit, you know, the angels of God, to overcome that sexy temptation and to succeed. Praise the Lord. So in rounding up, I said something that is the primary thing. When you talk about traveling prayer and all this, is that it does two major things. Because I started from the word, I said that we were waiting for the redemption of this body. Not the redemption of this body. That is on this side of the earth. The redemption of this body. That is where we are groaning. You know why? Because if we don't get that redemption on this side, we can't finish the assignment that God has for us. We'll be going from day to day saying, I keep my body under. So after I preach the others, I might not be a castaway. Because this body can disappoint if you don't keep it under. God has from David. So that is for that one. So how does it read? Romans chapter 8 verse 10. It says that, Romans 8 10. Romans chapter 8 verse 10. Let's read. So, and if Christ be in you, this body is what? Dead. Because of sin. The sin nature that is there, that we inherited from Adam. I put it. But it doesn't leave us. That's not the end of the story. You know, it says that, but the spirit is what? Life. That is your human spirit that is born again. Have access to the life of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are born, you are connected. I'm divine. You are the branches. You remember that diagram that we show on Tuesdays? But spirit is life because of righteousness. Next verse. But he, the spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, dwelling, he that raised up Christ from the dead, shall also what? Quicken or give life to your mortal bodies by spirit that dwelleth in you. You have divine healing there and divine life. That is why if you go back to Psalm 91, say, but long life last at this time and show me. It's not just confessing. This is going to contact to this. That body begins to look younger. Redemption of the body. That's why we are groaning. Are you following me? The last scripture I have here, the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2. That is how it's going to come into being. That those are the old things that God will cause to work together for good. Because you need a strong body to fulfill your perfect destiny. A weak body cannot carry the glory. So God gives you all the resources of heaven, the blood, the word, and the spirit, the angels of heaven. Why? So that life can enter the body, witness redemption of the body, and fulfill your perfect destiny. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2. What does it say? Paul, St. Paul. Says, for in this we groan. Say groan. Earnestly desire to be what? Clothed upon with a house which is from heaven. Next verse. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Next verse. Now says, for we that are in this tabernacle, do what? Groan. Being what? Burdened. Not we are not burdened with the cares of this world. For being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed or die prematurely and go to him, but clothed upon. That the same with the anointing without measure came upon Jesus Christ. That was day was clothed upon. That mortality might be swallowed up of life. What am I saying as I close the message? I said, oh, God wants all things to work together for our good. And there are two sets of all things. There are the bad things and the good things. And so the bad things come from Satan. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But you say, why does God allow it? Then God has also given us good things. I said, what are those good things? He said, I've given you all things good freely. He said, I've given you Paul. I've given you Cephas. I found that discovery. And he has also given you the blood of Jesus, the word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of angels. So God now takes those two things. He begins to mix them together. What Satan brings, he allows it. He brings together. He mixes with good things. So while that is going on, like Paul, I keep on praying with Ravel. I follow him. God now turns that thing around. Because there is none that God does not use. He uses Satan himself. Turns it around for your own good. Why? Because you want love God, which is keeping his commandment, using life and love public God. And then you have made purpose. Your purpose is purpose. Are you following me? That you might be conformed to the image and the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
Give Pastor Perry another clap offering. Hallelujah! I think that was a very appropriate word. The part of it I heard, we lost our internet connection on the way, so I wasn't able to listen in. But what every Christian should be looking to now in these last days, particularly this time, is this. He called it redemption of the body, which we preached some years ago, but probably a more current term I would use would be the transformation. The word transformation. In Easter, we called it the Lazarus transformation of the physical body. It's a concept that is not, that's been obscure, that's not clear, to the church. In fact, to the glory of God, we're just seeing it more clearly now in the last year or two. We've always known that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will give life to our mortal bodies. We know that. To some degree, we have experienced that. We've experienced divine healing, divine health to some degree. We've also experienced speaking in tongues, which is your physical body, and it's the power of God that's been manifest through your, because your tongue is a part of your body, and it's the power of God that's been manifested through it. So we have experienced this life of God in our mortal body to a limited degree. However, the scriptures are clear, from the scriptures Pastor Dewey has shared with us, that God doesn't just want it in a limited fashion. He wants it to be in all of our members. I said this some time ago, and it bears repetition now, that when we got the Holy Spirit, the earnest, which is the deposit, it was manifested through one member, the tongue. But when we get the Spirit without measure, it will be manifested through all the members. That's what we're talking about. It will, the logic is so clear. The first, the earnest comes through the tongue, one member, but the Spirit without measure comes through the entire body. The all our members, that hasn't been seen. That hasn't been seen. The only person that has demonstrated that is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And that's why you see the woman with the issue of blood touching his body or his garment and getting healed without Jesus praying. Without Jesus praying. Jesus didn't pray. Jesus didn't even know He didn't even permit her. She contacted him by faith. The Holy Spirit, who's the one who does it, was the one that released the virtue into the woman with the issue of blood, and she got healed instantly. But Jesus knew when it happened. He knew that power had left, but he didn't. He wasn't a part of the process in the sense that he didn't give his permission. He didn't pray. It's in vast contrast with the Apostle Paul, the book of Ephesians, in Acts, in the city of Ephesus, and he says, and Paul laid, they took handkerchiefs and aprons from his body, and they'll take the power of God, and they'll go and pray for people, and people got healed, and people, the evil spirits left them, and then there was one occasion where copying Elisha, where he was preaching, and a boy fell, and he died. And Paul said, don't worry, his life is in him. He didn't pray. Well, he prayed, but not, it wasn't the praying. He put his body on the boy's body, and life went from Paul's body into that body, boy's body, and the boy was raised from the dead. But the way Paul operated it was on a sporadic basis. In other words, it happened occasionally as the Holy Spirit willed. It was really manifestation of gifts of the Spirit, the gift of special faith, But with the Lord Jesus Christ, it was different. With the Lord Jesus Christ, that life was permanently resident in his physical body, 24/7. And that's why when he would go to preach and minister, the Bible says, and virtue went out of him and healed them all. Now, that is where God is taking us to. God will not be satisfied. And you should not be satisfied. Sadly, we get satisfied with so little because we're so used to so little. But we shouldn't be. We must learn the good habit of only being satisfied with what the Bible says. If it's in the Word and I haven't got it, I'm not satisfied. I have to go and find out what the Bible says, and that's what I want to be satisfied with. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had the life of God, spirit, soul, and body on a permanent basis from when he inherited the Spirit without measure. And it's that same measure that God wants us to have in these last days to fulfill the scripture, to fulfill, what Jesus came to do. He said he will see the travail of his soul and he'll be satisfied. If we do less than what Jesus did, then God's purpose will not be fulfilled. But when we have this life of God being made manifest in our mortal flesh on a consistent basis, then we will then fulfill, then our salvation would now be complete. And that's what God meant in Psalm 91, that Pastor Dewey mentioned, when he said, with long life will I satisfy. That word satisfy him, and then show him. The word show there doesn't just mean to see, it means to manifest, to experience, to show him my salvation, the full salvation, spirit, soul, and body. These things, they sound a little bit high for the church and for people, but they are the absolute truth that is revealed inside the scripture. I'll close with this because I think it's such a wonderful topic. The Bible tells us, it says that as we, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, which really dovetails into chapter 4, where he quoted from, and then into chapter 5, which he also quoted from, where the spirit, mortality might be swallowed up of life. You need to keep those things in the perspective and in the context that Paul wrote them. He wasn't writing about the resurrection. He was not writing about the resurrection. The traditional Christian thinking always puts all of such things. Our mortal bodies will be quickened when we get raised from the dead. Oh, when Jesus comes, then we'll have a new body. That's true. That's resurrection. We're not talking here about resurrection. Everybody say, we're not talking about resurrection. We're talking about transformation. It's a big difference. We're going to receive a new body, a glorified body, when Jesus comes back. But we're now talking about the transformation. It's the same body, but it's being transformed into the same quality that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ had when he was here. Jesus did not have a glorified body here. Before he died, he wasn't walking through walls. Hello. He wasn't going from Jerusalem to Nazareth in a flash. He wasn't flying all over the whole place. You know, God isn't spooky. Praise the Lord. He lived a normal life, but supernatural. When I say normal, I mean his body obeyed the normal physical laws. It got tired. He slept. When he was walking to the woman at the well, the Bible says he sat on the well, weary from his journey. So he was tired. that same body, it's that same tired body that the woman with the issue of blood touched and got healed. So that God is going to take this, your same body, did you say amen? And transform it. So that it will be like the physical body that Jesus had when he was here. Not the glorified one. Not the glorified one. So, you may not know this. You should, but you may not know it. Or you may not be conscious of it. But now, when I finish what I'm saying and we close, you should become more conscious of it. You are being transformed. In studying this in recent times, God took me back to the scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, is in verse 18. But he says, but we all, with an open face, we behold as in a glass, thank you, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You read it in English, you don't get it. It's good, but you know the word there? Metamorpho. Metamorphosis. The English word metamorphosis comes from the root Greek word metamorpho. So what God is actually saying is this: as you read your Bible every day, as you pray every day, as you groan and travail every day, your physical body is being metamorphosed. Is undergoing a metamorphosis so that it will be changed from its caterpillar condition, which is what we all start with, because our earthly bodies are earthly. So like the caterpillar, we are earthbound. Carnal. That's not an insult, but it's the truth. You know, we all start that way. You know, your body is just a natural body. It likes to eat. It likes to sleep. It likes to, you know, do all the things. And those things are not wrong. It's just that as it becomes transformed, the life of God working inside it begins to change it so that it now becomes, even though it is still a natural body, it now becomes a natural body with a spiritual affinity. So it is easy for that, as it becomes transformed, it's easy to crucify the lust of the flesh. It's easy, watch this, it now becomes a conductor of the power of God rather than an insulator. You've got the power of God inside your spirit, but your body is the blocking thing. So the life wants to flow, but when it enters the body, there's so much sin, it drops the voltage, so to speak, you know, reduces the current so that when you now lay hands on the sick, you know, what comes out is good, but it's usually not enough. But when that body is transformed, what is inside spirit just flows. Because your body becomes a spiritual superconductor. Then it makes absolute sense. Then we start seeing the same miracles. We start seeing those miracles, you know. It will not be, this guy comes up to Jesus, a leper. You don't touch lepers.
The leprosy will come into your body. That's why they say unclean, unclean. But watch this. When, because of the life of God that was inside the body, it was the leprosy that left. It was not the leprosy that entered. So you now lay, you know, a leper comes in and you say, can you heal me? You see, and just like you say, I will. You lay hands on the thing, and what is inside you is so powerful, the leprosy runs away from it. That is the transformation of the physical body. That's what Pastor Ray is talking about. That's what we're teaching. There is coming a company of people that will experience this transformation, not resurrection, this transformation, and I use the word Lazarus, just because just the same mistake Martha made when she said, oh, Jesus said, your brother will live again. He said, ah, Jesus, I know now. My brother will you know, where, at the last day. Jesus said, you're not getting it. I'm not talking about the last day. I'm talking about now. He said, I am now the resurrection and the life. And he did raise Lazarus before the last day. So your body will be transformed before the last day. The process, we look, we pray. It says, as you, that's why you need to read your Bible. Every day you read your Bible, there's an interaction with the Holy Spirit. And there's life that's being ministered and your body is being metamorphosed. I like to use that expression because that's what the original Greek says. You know? And then in chapter 4, he says the same thing, the life of God manifests. In chapter 5, he says mortality might be swallowed up in life. And then in Philippians, Paul picks this same thought up, and I'll close with this. And this is what he said. He said, that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. That I'm trying to quote it from head, but you know, he said that I know that he said that I may know him. Yes, thank you for bringing it. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, which is what God set Good Morning Jesus up for, to help us to start to participate, because his sufferings are basically two. Number one, you suffer self-denial of sleep and self-denial of food. Why? To give more time to pray and to release the power of God. You don't fast all the time. You don't do without sleep at all. You must sleep and you must eat, you know, for your body to stay healthy. But you take a significant chunk out of the time of sleep and food, so that transformation process can become effective. That's what it means by the fellowship. That's what Jesus suffered. Jesus didn't suffer sickness. He suffered self-denial. He said, take up your cross and follow me. So each day, the Bible says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears, and he would get up early, a great while before day. So that's what he's talking about here. That he suffered, will become fellowship of his sufferings. Go back to Philippians. Thank you. I'm going to wrap this up. Philippians. Thank you. I mean, no, the fellowship of his sufferings. So you fellowship in his sufferings, in self-denial, in food, in prayer, primarily. You know, because, and then you'll be able to, it is easy to deny any other thing once you deny those ones and you have the power of God in sufficient measure. It's easy to deny sex or deny, you know, the main things are food and sleep. And what's going to happen? Being made conformable unto his death. So you begin to crucify the lusts of the flesh. Then verse 11. Now give this to me in the Amplified. And we close. That if possible, I might attain. You see, he didn't use the word transformation here, but that's really what he said. That's the spirit behind this letter. The spiritual and moral resurrection, I didn't hear you, that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. So this is not a resurrection. This is not a glorification. This is a transformation while we are still here.
Stand to your feet. A transformation. While we are still here, I've used this illustration many, many times when I teach in prayer school. The butterfly. And incidentally, I don't know how come, of course, the Holy Spirit, you know, even without the people in science and biology, you know, thinking about it, why we use that word metamorphosis. Because it accurately describes the same change that we go through as Christians. You be the egg, then it's born, then it becomes a caterpillar. And most Christians live and die. The majority of the Christianity we've seen all our lives in these 2,000 years has been caterpillar Christianity. So we think caterpillar Christianity is the norm. We're not supposed to stop at caterpillar. Your body goes, you know, your spirit gets born again. Your soul is getting renewed, you know. And then your body is also being transformed. But most people, the transformation stops at caterpillar stage. They don't even get to the stage of the chrysalis. Because at that stage, you don't like too much activity. It's not as if nothing is happening. Something is happening. But majority of us is on the inside. And that's exactly what happens with caterpillar. Sorry, with the butterfly. It's the chrysalis stage that, you know, it's just still. It's like a hibernation, you know. But so much change is happening on the inside. And then one day, suddenly, that thing that has been the chrysalis that's been developing on the inside, it breaks out of the cocoon, and then a new. But you know what? Everything that was in the caterpillar is inside the butterfly. They are exactly the same. The only difference between them is transformation, metamorphosis. So you and I are exactly like Jesus now on the inside.
Amen. Hallelujah.
If you will allow the transformation process to complete its work, let patience have her perfect work.
Wow.
You will become perfect, entire, wanting nothing.
Hallelujah.
You become a butterfly.
Amen.
And then you stop living on the ground. You start flying. And then everybody will see your colors. Which represents the fruit of the Spirit, the character of God, the glory of God. And then you too will say, be healed.
Amen.
And you too, when you go out, you pray for people. It says, virtue will go out of you and heal them all. That's what we need to close this day. Well, you know, but that's what we need for Nigeria. This will change Nigeria.
Amen.
It will change the world. Let's pray. Because of time. Just raise your hand. Put one hand on your heart. Very simple prayer this afternoon. Just say, Father, we confess our sins, so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come from your servant, reminding us, making it clearer to us that you want us to be transformed, not only in our spirit and in our soul, but even our physical bodies to be transformed to manifest the life of God in this lifetime. So that your glory and your power will be made manifest through us and will be a blessing to humanity around us. Lepers will touch us and the leprosy will leave. The dead will touch us and they will rise from the dead. And your glory will be made manifest. And as we do this, Jesus in us will be lifted up and draw all men unto him. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. Let me receive. I ask for fresh mercy and fresh grace. Firstly, to have a personal revelation of this inner transformation that is currently taking place. And then secondly, to walk in it, to work it out through the fellowship of his sufferings in prayer, in self-denial, of sleep, of food, to give more time to pray so that the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit can do its work and complete its work in my physical body. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray this prayer. Mercy, Lord. Shelekitolo magardoloma. Zelikitolo mangaras. Alambriya tushkifri. Lombredeles. Jeketu fridela. No fridia. Mercy, Lord. Labaranandu to godongan dongadanga daya kasholo. Likitolo mutolosht. Zefre. Lombregagaglomatolomastu. Lambregagaglomatolomatu frides. Toklomatolo lambredo frishi. Tu fridi antushkifri. Lambrega glomatulomsha, Lombrega glomatulomsh, Lambrea antos cafre, Lombrega, Tolom to Frido Frido Frishengar Dolomontu, Tolomoshelica to Fredes, No Fredes, No Fredes, Nongaras, Tushka Fredes, Longer Dolos, Tu Fredes, No Fredes, Nongaras, Jelikes, No Fredilis, Tu Fredes, Tu Fredes, Nongaras, Tushka Fredes, in Jesus' name. Please be seated. A thought came to my mind. You know, Jesus went through these same stages we went through. Between the age of 12 and the age of 18, Jesus was in the chrysalis stage. Nothing seemed to be happening. 30, thank you, sir. 18 years. 18 years of apparent inactivity. But the transformation was... it was going on the inside. 18 years from 12 to 30. It's just, you know. And I just remembered that. And I said it to encourage us. And you know, it was during that time Joseph died. That's why you don't see, you only see Joseph in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, Matthew 1. From that, you don't see Joseph anymore. When Jesus was killed on the cross, all you see is mommy. You saw his mommy, you saw John, you know, and that was it. If his dad was alive, of course he would have been there. He couldn't even raise Joseph from the dead. And that's why as we're going through this same transformation state, you know, you can see a lot of people, John, stay where you are. Remember those four horses in that book, Eagle Saints Arise. The ones that were going to pull the chariot of the king. Then the other ones wanted their freedom. And they went all over the whole place. And then when the famine came, those other horses came back. And then they saw these ones that were disciplined. They were harnessed. That's what happens. That's why you see Jesus come out after the 30 years. He had gone through that stage. There is a place, there is a time in your Christian life, if you grow there. Most people don't even get there. Like I said, majority of the church dies a caterpillar. They don't even get to chrysalis, talk less of butterfly. But we've been taught by the grace and the mercy of God and the help of the Holy Spirit, who brought us to this place now. You know, and many of us now are making this transition from caterpillar to chrysalis. And you feel the restriction. It's in that chrysalis state that you have the cocoon. It doesn't allow you to do what you like. You see, when you were young, you went when you wanted. You see, but when you became old, it never carried you to where you don't want to go. That's where you're in now. Understand it. And stay there. It's not inactivity. It's just that it's not a lot of physical running around. It's a lot of internal activity.
Brethren, I just want to say that what Pastor said was what they had against us in Scripture, Pastor. Nothing was happening. Because Pastor kept saying that this work must be on the inside. And they kept saying, hey, all these years, inside, inside, inside. When will it show on the outside? Do you remember? And so many people that could not wait, they left. He's still working on the inside. But Jesus on the inside. He's working on the outside. Oh, what... in our lives, Oh, what a change.
Change, transformation, metamorphosis.
Hallelujah. To rain. Training for raining. He must walk on the inside. Then he will show on the outside. Hallelujah. And so change. Because he keeps walking on the inside. It's on one level of glory and to another level of glory. But see, but we will see Jesus. But now people are beginning to see that it's truly walking on the inside. It's showing on the outside. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
In addition to what mommy just, oh my God, I just lost my thought. I had a great thought. It just came while she was talking, you know, about, you know, this changing on the inside. And it'll come back. I'm sure the thought will come back. But you need to hold on to that, you know, and don't allow yourself to be distracted. So many Christians get distracted because they're not seeing so much on the outside. Ah, it came back. Praise the Lord. You know what he was doing? He was in a carpenter's shop. He wasn't healing the sick. He wasn't holding crusades. He wasn't there. He was just doing what he was a carpenter's shop. But all that training was necessary. And it was then he was subject to his parents. You're not going to get this transformation thing if you're not willing to just stay subject to your parents, so to speak, you know. And, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, do it well. Because it's when you are faithful in that which is natural. And they said Jesus made the best tables. He made the best chairs. He was an excellent carpenter. Be excellent in what you're doing. And then God trusts you with the glory. Can you believe? While he died, I was crying like a baby. I didn't know I would cry. They sent for me, you know, my wife and I got a text about 2-3 weeks ago that he had died and that they were going to bury him and that they would like us to be there. The wife sent to us because we were such close. He was probably my closest friend when we first started out in ministry. Even the day we said scripture pastor, he was there. While he was there, remember Wally, he went to go and put up all the signs on the way to come to the church. You know, he was a great man. He was a great man, full of revelation knowledge. It was Wally who first said these two things to me. I say this to his tribute because he's in heaven and he can see. You know, I remember he said to me, he said, Olubi, if Adam and Eve had eaten of the tree of life, it was Wally who I first heard it from. He said that they would have had the knowledge of good and evil. And the knowledge of good and evil is not evil because God had it. The first person I ever heard say was Wally. And it's true. He said, they will become like one of us, knowing good and evil. So God knows good and evil. So the knowledge of good and evil was not evil. It was the way they got it. Now, God gave me that and extended it for me. And, you know, I said a lot of other things. You know, then the second thing he said to me was, you know, in John chapter 9, he said, they passed by and they said, who has sinned? Is it this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents has sinned. Then he said, while he was saying, I'm talking about in the early 80s, when you come back from France, he used to stay in my house, we'll be sharing scripture. He said, Olubi, but he didn't say nobody sinned. He only said that it was not this man. Who sinned? Adam sinned. It was Adam's sin that caused that man to be blind. Extend it further. Every problem you can see on the earth today, it was because of Adam's sin. So when something bad happens to you, it's not because your daddy did something or you did something. Of course, you too can do something and your daddy can do something. But even when you don't do anything and something bad happens because of the original sin. I give a tribute to my friend. You know, great man, you know, but you know, he just 60. He was going to be 61 in October. You know, but his works followed him. So we went out there, you know. He was a pioneer in Cote d'Ivoire. When he first went, I remember, I used to go ever so often, you know, and got the church established. And he broke through into that place and went to all the villages. did crusades, set up churches, great miracles, the blind seeing, the lame walking, great things happened, you know, but he died. But we, you know, so time is gone. This is why we need to face what we are facing and face it properly. And really be serious with our Christianity. This baby church. I like the way Kehegi say, we're playing church. You know, not all of you necessarily, but people just come to church. You know, church is just blessing and, you know, as if we're playing games. That's serious business here.
Brethren, with long life, God will satisfy us and show us His salvation. But don't lean on that.
Hey!
Know that as assuredly, because it's God's promise.
And then you have to fulfill the condition.
But you have to live like this. You have to live like this. Live every day like it was your last day. Live every day like it was your last day. Be consumed with the zeal of the Lord. The zeal of the Lord has consumed. Even when you were saying, how shall these things be? It says in Isaiah, it's the zeal of the Lord that shall pass. He's His passion. Live every minute, and if I perish, I perish. Because you don't have no fear of death. It says, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life. That is true overcoming. And it's really truly that way you can reign. And truly that way that you can be that butterfly. And you can break from that pupa stage into that butterfly thing and close the cage. This world must have no allure. It has no allure for me. Must not hold you down, must not hold me down. And it's only the people that say, if I perish, I perish. That don't perish. Because God sees to it that they don't perish. They just fulfilled Revelation 12. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. And love not their license.
Let's stand to our feet as we close the service. Beloved, I want to emphasize what Mommy and I have been saying earlier this afternoon. Long life. Everybody say long life. It's the will of God, but it is conditional. It's sad that the church has never taught it and believed God for it. Because it's not just something, it's just like every other thing. Healing, for example, is the will of God, but you don't experience it if you don't believe for it. Are you listening to me? Healing is the will of God, but you have to believe for it. Prosperity is the will of God, but you have to believe for it. Long life is the will of God, but you have to believe for it. Just that there are laws that govern prosperity, like tithing and giving and generosity and all of that. There are laws that govern long life. Walk in love. So simple. Learn, develop. So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. Watch this. He said, because that's the reason. There's a reason. He has set His love upon me. Therefore, will I deliver Him to those who set their love. So love is the condition. Love in two directions. Love for God and love for man. You want long life? I remember one long life here. Give me a wave, offering. Now turn to your neighbor and say, you need to develop your love to God, for God, and your love for man by your love for God. So I'm going to love man with the love with which I love God. You know, while we're in Abidjan, you know, and I was burying my friend, I haven't felt like that in a long time. I started weeping. I publicly, you know, everybody was looking at Pastor. But I told them it's okay, Jesus wept. So, praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I mean, I didn't weep badly, but, you know, my tears were coming out of my eye because I was the one who buried him. I was the one who took the sand and buried him. They said, the wife said, wanted me to do it. You know, and thank God we were able to come. It was supposed to be in England. God changed everything and made it possible for us to come. But the point I want to make is this. I don't know who was talking. We also saw Mr. Lowe there. Thank your husband. He was so good. He came to meet us. He came for all the ceremonies. He stood with us, you know, because they'll always have a school in Cote d'Ivoire, in Abidjan. Anyway, and in the midst of the talking, you know, I think it was with some of our friends, you know, were talking about all the things that happened. And he said, you know, the Yorubas have this saying. I may not say it very well, if you can correct me. You know, Tolojobade. That's the person who has the day. It's God who has the day. And you know, he's the one who gives the life, the breath. Awagbe mi e. Did I get it, darling? Tolojobade. That is the person who owns the day. In other words, you see, your life is not in your hand. Mm-mm. That's the tradition. The owner, you know, it's all half truths. The truth about the matter is that, yes, your life is in God's hand. Now, watch this scripture. With long life, will I, Olojo, satisfy him, you. So there is a connection. If you and the Olojo can get together and arrange, then you and Olojo will decide the day, the place, and the time. It's God. It's not us. My life is not in my hand. My life is in God's hand. But if I walk with God, then he said, with long life will I. I cannot satisfy myself with long life. Only God can satisfy me with long life. But if I walk with God, then God and I will now decide how long I'm going to live. Then even when I die, I will decide where I die, when I die, and how I die. And then you can say like Paul, I have finished my course. I am ready to be. It's not that the guy just walked in and took me on a day that I wasn't ready. But it's conditional. Love God and love men. You want to live long? Say it again. Love God and love men. So unforgiveness, bitterness, strife, getting angry, and all of that, it will kill you. When people say, you know, the Bible says, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Let them strive. They don't want to live long. I want to live long, so I'm not going to strive. Pray for them, love them, and the wicked one, he keepeth himself. He that believeth, keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. You know, he can't touch you if God doesn't allow it. But if you do what you should do, then God will not allow it. I thought it's very important. There's a lot of wrong thinking going on in the body of Christ. People go to one or the other extreme. Either one, I say, that's not true. It's yes, but so you and God will now decide. You see, if you say everything is in God's hand, then you take no responsibility, then the enemy can come in. Because you said you don't want to have a part of it. The Bible promises you long life. But it is your responsibility to believe God for it and fulfill the conditions. Join hands with somebody. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life. With long life. With long life. Will God satisfy you and show you his salvation in the perfection, the fullness of Christ. The Lord imparts on you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name.